Thanks for tuning in to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, here with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. As today, we will continue down the path of what it means to pursue that favorite American pastime, the entrepreneurial itch. Yesterday, we had a good friend and Family Talk board member, Dr. Ken Eldred, with us here in the studio to discuss exactly that. We talked about issues like those feelings of despair that come along with losing a job and not really knowing how to pursue those next steps. And he also shared some great advice about starting up a new business in this recession, how to navigate those risks and really create some new ideas. So obviously, if you missed that, you will want to go to drjamesdobson.org to hear what was said in that first day of discussion. Now, before we get started with today's program, let me give a little background on our guest. Dr. Ken Eldred is a man of many talents. He's the president and CEO of the Living Stones Foundation and a superb author. His book, The Integrated Life, Experience the Powerful Advantage of Integrating Your Faith and Work, is a great resource, and of course, we have that available at drjamesdobson.org. Ken is married to Roberta, and together they have three grown sons and nine grandchildren. Now, yesterday we ended that conversation by admitting that it is a bit unnerving to jump into the world of business, especially in this economy. But Dr. Eldred was pointing out that when you discover a need that you can fulfill, those opportunities often arise. So here's our host now, Dr. James Dobson, to get us started once again on this Family Talk broadcast.
Well, Dr. Eldred, when we finished the program last time, you were about to give us a couple of illustrations that would help people really get a fix on what you're recommending to them. And I stopped you because we were out of time. I want to go right back to that point now and tell us what you were going to say then.
Great. I want to give an example for those who feel like, well, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. It's too difficult. You know, people are much more professional at this than I am. There are two stories I want to tell. One, there was a woman in Southeast Asia, very poor woman. She had very little to eat. She had spices because spices in that part of the world are available. But not only was her cupboard bare, she had a child. She had, a ramshackle place, and she had cockroaches everywhere. And they were getting on her children. They were on the floor. They were everywhere. And she noticed that one day as she was, she despaired of these. And one day she opened her cabinet where she kept her food, and she found that there were cockroaches up there except where these couple of spices were. So she took these spices that she had, probably 10 cents worth of spices, mixed them together, and put them around the edges of the house. Around the door, and just laid it there. And she found that the cockroaches didn't come anymore. Hmm. They didn't like the taste or the smell of these spices. So she went out and bought a few dollars worth of spices, packaged them up as a cockroach defender. And she sold these to her neighbor for a few cents a piece. Well, she built a business that not only cared for her, but her whole family, and an employee around to getting rid of cockroaches. So here she was, no skills, no money, nothing to eat, and she built a business. And what's a spiritual advantage? No more cockroaches. It's a wonderful gift for people. It was a great need. So here's that one example. She said, well, that's easy. That's Southeast Asia. Let's go home. Here's a woman who was without a work. Her husband was out of work. She was a praying woman. She kept writing down scriptures. She wrote promises on pieces of paper. She kept writing these things down. And she'd put them in different places. She loved tea. So she thought, well, I'm going to staple these to my tea bag. And and when I'm putting my tea in, I'll remember to look at these promises. And other people that saw this said, this is a great idea. So she took her product and went to a Christian bookstore. Well, they liked it, and they began to sell it. Now, this is no cost. You just buy some tea, and you put it in little bags. Ultimately, she began to create a whole new company called Scripture Tea. And it's a multi-million dollar business today.
Really?
It started with an idea, and a little bit of money.
And the subpoint there, doctor, excuse me, is that the single mom listening right now who desperately wants to take care of her family and still be involved, this is something she can do to be that provider in her home.
Right. Most women that are at home think, you know, what could I possibly do? I have children, you know. I don't quote-unquote work, which is what people say around it, but they do work, mm-hmm. and they have needs. And so often they see problems, and they, you know, such a simple organizer mm-hmm. or something that helps them do the work during the day because they can't find a product. Well, that is a product, mm-hmm. and that could be a great opportunity mm-hmm. for people to build. And when we walk away from our nest, the thing that we know really well, you know, we get ourselves into a risk. Most people go out to try to start a business in something they don't know anything about. You know, and that's why it's 96% failure rate. Hmm. There are a few other things, too, that I'd like to get into today. But that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about.
Well, let's press on. Let's talk about those other things that you want to express.
Good. Some of these ideas have already started to come out, but let me formalize them a little bit. To begin with, we need to trust God. And it's important to start with God because, you know, if we have a plumb line in our life, you know, a point of foundation, you know, then these other things we know God is going to be there to help us with. You know, it helps us set our priorities. It helps us set our rational thinking because, you know, we're not frightened all the time. You know, fear is not of God, it's of the devil. You know, and we begin to sort of focus on Him and give Him the opportunity. That's just number one. You know, and everything sort of proceeds out of that because once we've kind of established that for ourselves and we've asked Him to help us, He will come along. He promises. He says that man may, you know, take steps, but God, you know, God guides their way. Hmm. So, you know, once again, it's trusting God, number one. You know, number two, we need to consider a product that relates to our experience. Once again, this idea that we stay close to home. You know, look at what it is that you do, what God has given you in the past, because what you've done is no accident. Hmm. You know, so what is it that you've been doing? What is it that you have some experience with? What are the areas that problems appear to exist? We need to kind of look up and think about it.
Or you might even go to some of your friends and acquaintances and ask them, what do you see me doing that I do well? You might even get some other input from other people.
Absolutely. It's a really good point, you know, because you need to know yourself. I mean, Paul said, analyze thyself. You need to know who you are, what you're good at, what your skills are. But looking in the field you've been in this long, what is missing? What is it that makes your job would make your job easier? Start with something, number three, start with something simple. Don't try to create something that's difficult. You know, and field test it, whatever that is. So start with your friends. And by the way, marketing of these kind of things is significantly easier these days. You know, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we've got Google. We've got all these ways of getting what we have out. And, you know, send it to your friends. Tell them, say, you know, on my website, on my Facebook page, I like this.
You know, let me give you a personal example, another personal example as I'm looking back over my life. When I was working on my PhD at the University of Southern California, I came to the requirement of passing exams for two languages. As for a PhD, you have to be able to read two languages. And I had 12 weeks to do this. And I was just lying in bed one night saying, Lord, how am I going to do this? That means 6 weeks per language. And I was working full time, too. So I got out of bed and got on my knees and I said, Lord, show me how to do this. Because my major professor was leaving for a year and it would have delayed me a year if I hadn't gotten those two languages passed before he left. And so I got a tutor, and he came, and he began teaching me some things about learning a language. And I incorporated some of that, and I put it in writing in a way that was helpful to me. It turned out to be about, 30, 40 pages of kind of curricular material that got me through, and I passed both of those languages in 6 weeks, right on time. And then people around me heard about it and said, we got the same problem. Can we make use of the materials that you produced? And I said, you got any money? And I charged them $1,100 to use my materials. And it was a bargain for them because they passed two languages quickly. Every one of them passed. And I think there were in all about 10 people that used my materials. So it was really the same principle that you're talking about.
What were those two languages? I'm curious.
Spanish and Portuguese.
Can you speak them now?
And Portuguese is similar to Spanish, at least in the written form. No, I can't. And I didn't have to be able to speak them. Okay. I just had to be able to read them.
That's great.
And
That's great. That's a great example.
Well, and that leads to another couple of points. One is if your skills are close to what you're looking at as an idea, but they're not spot on, do you have a friend who does have those skills? And can you sit down and work with that individual? Because having the right skills and experience is everything. So when we take an idea, and like your example of the language skills, I mean, the cost of the first item is really heavy. But that's not a problem, because ultimately you take that, you print it up in thousands of pages, and it's 50 cents, you know, or a dollar to present the material. But the but you sell it for $10 or $20 to hundreds or even thousands of people, and there's a nice profitable business there. But the point is we take a product idea and first try it on your friends. Go to a store that might be selling these products. See if they have anything like this.
What about a service as opposed to a product? What about providing a service for someone?
Absolutely. Services are wonderful businesses. More than 50% of our economy is made up of service activity. You know, what can you do for your organization or for a school? Many people actually do consulting because they're really good at what they do, and companies are willing to pay for it, but they aren't willing to hire you for this. So do a short-term consulting project or provide consulting information, you know, on an industry if you're an expert in that industry, whatever it is.
Well, let's summarize what you said in the last program and this one. There are people out there, many, many of them, millions of them, who have run aground in the search for the kind of work that they want to do and that they've done in the past, and they absolutely cannot find an answer to that. They've been rejected. They've been turned down. They've been ignored, and it tears at the spirit. That's a deeply wounding experience. So we're talking to people like that. And as we said last time, there's a lot of despair that goes along with this and concern for the family, for paying the bills. You're saying that there's another approach. If you think only in terms of somebody hiring you, you may look for 2 or 3 years or longer. And some people are like a fish that's out of the stream and they're flopping on the bank and they never can quite get back to where they were. In those situations and many others, look around you at what the needs are that you might address. There is a possibility of a business or a service that you can provide that will allow you to feed your family and to grow and really take advantage of your creativity.
Yes, and it doesn't take a lot of money. It doesn't take a lot of money. It does take concentration. It takes the willingness to get outside of yourself. And instead of spending time feeling bad about what the situation is, and Doctor, I've been where you are. I've been where many of these people are now, you know, rejected many times, feeling overwhelmed by the inability to do anything about it. At 50, I had to start over. I mean, there's a whole story there. You know, but God says, you know, we come reason together. I'm here to help you. I want to make you successful. So rather than keep beating our heads against the wall, stop and say, Lord, what is it? Get together with some friends like you suggested, Luann, and say, what is it that I'm good at? What is it that I could do? What is it that we could put together? And the whole idea around starting a business to get from the 96% to a success by reducing that is reducing risk means sitting down, laying out the thought. What is the idea? What's the product? What's the biggest risk here? It's what I call the knockout factor. Why isn't this going to work? And then go figure out what the problem is there. Mm-hmm. Too many people try to start businesses who get all excited about how well it will go and what are the good things about it. Success always takes care of itself. The big problems you need to figure out. And there may be a point where you say, I don't know the answer to this problem. I can't fix this. Good, good. Go on to something else. You know, there's an old expression, you know, bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. That's just wrong. You know, I mean, if you've got one in your hand, it's no good. Throw it away. Go after another one.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, we have to be willing to drop things that don't work, you know, rather than, okay, now I'm going to go for it, because that's a big part of that 96%.
Mm. Can I ask both of you to maybe speak to the fear that might exist between a couple, Dr. Dobson, maybe you can. You know how us women like security.
Mm-hmm.
And we're probably speaking to a wife right now whose husband is all inspired and might want to go out and do this. The wife is scared spitless. She's thinking, don't jump out and just jump off the cliff like this and go into a business. How do you rectify that within a marriage?
Well, this is the expert. I'll give you an amateur's answer to that. I've always felt like you don't move into a new house. You don't move out of the old house until you're ready to move into the new one.
Hmm.
My grandfather was a conductor for a railroad, and he took 5 to 10% of his income, and he had six children, and he put that away for investment. And he kept his job on the railroad, but then he would invest in this and that and the other. He was in business with the first man to put Coca-Cola in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And they began building Coca-Cola plants around the South. And he had other entrepreneurial efforts. He always kept his job as a conductor. Because that paid the bills. And then he experimented with a little bit of money that he could save, and he made a lot of money. I don't know if that makes sense to you, Ken.
It does. That's exactly right. If you're looking for a job, yes, don't stop. You know, but take some of that time and allocate it to a possible product idea. The whole idea is to find out if a product can be successful or not. And why wives get worried is because I'm going to go out, throw everything into this thing without having really understood what the risks are, what the problems are. We spent a lot of time in developing this product idea back in the early and mid-70s. My friends came to see me, some friends, and we had dinner together. And these two couples began to tell Roberta and I what a crazy idea this was. But we'd done all the research. They hadn't. And when the evening was over, I was a little down.
But was one of them named Bill Dad the Shoe Height?
Well, Roberta, the best part, my wife Roberta said, don't listen to those people.
Mm-hmm.
You've done the research. You've done your own work. You know, and that wife can be very helpful in this process if she's not the identified person that's trying to find this job, but he is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and vice versa in terms of being supportive, being encouraged, asking hard questions, but being encouraging. And if this is done right, we spend very little money and you only spend a little bit more as you get more knowledge and more understanding. And it doesn't matter what the product itself costs the first time around. You know, let's take the notes from a language course. I mean, the cost to you was extraordinary in terms of time and energy. But the second set—
working on my own, purpose,
right.
too.
But the second set was free.
Yeah.
I mean, there was really no cost to it, and yet you could sell that. And it was extremely valuable to other people. You know, so you don't worry about the cost of the first model. I mean, you make it out of clay if it's a coffee cup, you know, and that cost you hours and hours of work. But that can be built offside once you've proven the concept. So the idea of reducing risk, you know, having the right idea, putting people, you know, testing your way into something, spending a little, making a little. It's called bootstrapping. You know, bring yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, and if it's done that way, then your spouse doesn't feel like you're going off the deep end.
Yeah.
And you, and she would be right, or he would be right, if we went totally off into some direction.
In those kind of conversations between a husband and wife, I have found it fun to tell people that the man is the pedal and the wife is the brake. And you need both elements. You need one enthusiastic guy who is just ready to throw caution to the wind and take his ideas and develop them. And his wife is saying, I don't know about this. And they work together. That's not an accident that God put those two qualities within the marital context, I think.
That's right. And that's usually where I tell people to start. You know, dear, be gentle with me, but tell me what I'm good at and what I'm not so good at. Mm. And that's that is our best ally. She's our best ally. He is our best ally in a family. And then it's our close friends, you know, to be honest with us and to be able to receive it. And once again, if we realize that we are uniquely created by God for a certain purpose, and this promise is over and over and over and over again in the Scripture, if we're uniquely created by God for a purpose, and since we are, then we just are trying to find out what that purpose is.
Mm-hmm. And He will tell you.
And He'll tell you.
Yeah. You are a born entrepreneur, Ken. You are. And yet you are suggesting that there are a lot of people listening to us who have a lot of those skills and they don't know about it. They haven't recognized them in themselves.
You know, since I am a born entrepreneur, let me give you one more story. When I was making a decision for Christ, I said to the Lord, I really want to be in business. The problem is I can't see these business opportunities. You know, it's kind of like, you know, having a video game these days with the analysis, and you know there's something going on the screen, and all you have to do is point at it, but you can't see the screen. And what I said to the Lord was, please remove the veil so I can see the screen, because if you do that, you know, with your help, I can hit one of these. And He did. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a prayer that I think everyone who's sort of saying, okay, Lord, help me do this. I mean, we get so wrapped up in our problem that we forget to ask God to do some very simple things for us. And He wants to do this.
Hmm. It's been a fascinating discussion, Dr. Eldred, and you really ought to write a book on this. Have you thought about it?
I keep saying that was my last book, but I believe I'm going to work on this. I'd, you know, love to get some feedback.
All right. When you get it done, you come back. And you're going to be back anyway, because I got you running back and forth to Family Talk to be on the board. But I will be very interested in following the progression of this simple idea, but one that has profound implications, especially for those that are desperately seeking some way to pay their bills and some way to feel good about themselves.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson, for having me. The point I want to leave with everyone is that you really can do this. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, the things that stop you are those bars that you've created for yourself that limit you to trying something new. If for 36 months you've been looking for a job and you can't find it, it's time to try something new.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And you will succeed.
And Dr. Eldred, you may not have written the book yet, but perhaps we can take some of these ideas and put them online for people to access, just to give them some practical ideas for the next step to take.
That would be great, Luann.
Give our regards to Roberta.
Thank you.
And those are pretty encouraging words from our guest today on Family Talk, Dr. Ken Eldred. Now, if you are looking for what that next step may be to begin a business of your own, do connect with us online. Dr. Eldred has provided us with a list of some of his ideas. You can do that at drjamesdobson.org. And I would add, for those of you who are still hanging on and a bit skeptical, you might need a little more encouragement. We actually spoke with a young husband and father here in Colorado who ventured ventured out and did exactly what we've been talking about today. He started his own business in the midst of a poor economy, and we thought it might be helpful for you to hear directly from someone like him who's been there, maybe hear a bit of his do's and don'ts as you consider this new path. So while you're online, check out our recording of entrepreneur Brian Leach. That is at drjamesdobson.org. Now, obviously, we've been talking directly to those of you who struggle financially today. But for those listening who are employed and have the blessing of an income, would you consider partnering with us here at Family Talk at this time? We are completely listener-supported and would greatly appreciate you standing alongside of us. You can go to drjamesdobson.org and donate by clicking on the Donate tab. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we do invite you to come back tomorrow when we will be discussing those special relationships between fathers and daughters. That's right here next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.